Save us, son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us in the highest heaven. The crowds lined up both in front of and behind Jesus and his followers. They shouted and sang, I imagine, with a lightness of heart, perhaps even a glimmer of hope, a bold and unquenchable hope that would begin to sharpen the sword of the wary overseeing empire, and that would begin to lead Jesus on the path to his death. As biblical scholars have noted, the stark difference between the day's parades was clear. Jesus' procession proclaimed the kingdom of God, and Pilate's proclaimed the power of empire. Jesus orchestrates a type of entrance into the city of Jerusalem that he knew would get him into trouble. In Mark's telling, the following day he would return to the temple and clear it of the den of robbers that it had become. And then, too, his act seems mostly symbolic, but it's physical enough that he knew it would get him into trouble. But as the late John Lewis reflected on the tireless work of Rosa Parks and the civil rights movement, he acknowledged the need for faithful people to be willing to get into what he called good trouble. Necessary trouble. The kind of trouble that is revelatory insofar as it reveals the truth about the state of violence of a violent world and points to the very real possibility that it does not have to be this way. Scripture tells us that as Jesus' procession made its way to the center of town, Jesus went into the temple. And when he got there, he looked around at everything. And he saw that it was already late, so he went back out to Bethany with the 12. Now, the other two Gospels tell it a little bit differently. They say that Jesus goes into the temple and immediately starts turning over the tables. But Mark here wants us to remember that Jesus took in what he could see. He took stock of what was there around him. And this would seem like a relatively anticlimactic end to a messianic parade, would it not? Other would-be messiahs had used the attention given to them to foment anger and passion among the people and had engaged in those early days of these festivals in attacks of their Roman overseers. And these clashes always ended in violence, never seemed to enact much lasting change for the Judeans. And then some Roman parades would end in a banquet feast for the powerful, and those who sought to work with or for or under the Romans were invited to eat a feast. But this one didn't end with a feast either. Instead, it ends with Jesus having a good look around at everything. And perhaps that's an invitation to us as well. Get into good trouble, for sure. And then, church, pause and look around at everything. See the world for what it is, and take the necessary time for reflection and rest, and if it's late in the evening, step away to plan your next move. What do we see when we look around at everything, family of God? Perhaps through our own eyes, we see all that we feel is wrong in the world, and we see places where maybe we think necessary violence might save us, through war, through political policy, through self-hatred or hatred of others, through the suppression of people who are different from us. Will we wave messianic branches at those who promise to defeat our enemies and who traffic in the fomenting of outrage and indignation? And yet perhaps, beloved of God, if we look at the world through the lens of the one who came to us in the name of the Lord, we might see those very same things. We might see the very same struggles and problems in our world around us, but we might see them as opportunities. Opportunities for healing and restoration. As opportunities to end cycles of violence and to bring an unexpected peace. Perhaps this Holy Week, each day, we might set aside some time for prayer, for reading the scripture for the day, and for reflecting on what it is that's going on in our world and in our community and in our hearts. Are we expecting a certain kind of Messiah to save us? And how might Jesus be upending those expectations we put on him? Are we open to following our Lord into the uncomfortable places where human pain and God's loving redemption might meet, because it will not be easy and it will not be fun? And if we're only seeking to avoid our own pain and to comfort our own bruised egos, we will surely miss it. We will miss the holy places and holy moments in our lives where God sets up our expectations and then refuses to meet them, where God instead lays God's self bare before us, embodied in service and in care and even in death, inviting us deeper into the life of God that we see so clearly in the person of Jesus. You see, Jesus was creating an expectation amongst the people, one that was familiar to them. When they saw a parade come in from the east, they knew who was coming, and they thought they knew what the outcome would be. But Jesus defies all of our expectations at times. And each Palm Sunday, we were reminded of the ways that we as human beings are continually drawn to forms of power that do not work for us, to harmful and violent forms of power over others. But by entering the city the way he did and setting up those certain expectations, Jesus rejects the sort of Messiah that the people wanted in order to be the Messiah that he is, one who rejects violence, but who is willing to dramatize and enact a powerful witness of nonviolent demonstration. Prophetic sign acts of the really real and the truly true, revealing in his actions and words the kingdom of God that is present and available to each of us. A kingdom that will not be achieved through war or conquest or despots or dictators or suppression or othering. A kingdom that cannot be killed. And so this Holy Week, we remember each day the way that Christ became the scapegoat to end all scapegoating, who became the recipient of violence that revealed the uselessness and powerlessness of these never-ending cycles of violence in which we humans are continually swept up. The question of Palm Sunday, at least as I see it, is this: who do you want Jesus to be? Who do you wish that he was? A violent revolutionary? A strong and decisive crusher of our enemies? A wise and gentle magician who instantly relieves us from all pain and struggle? I want that too, sometimes. But what does it mean for us to follow Christ as a wild, unpredictable, prophetic actor in the world who refuses to be forced into doing anything that God doesn't want him to do, so much so that he was willing to die? What does it mean for us to love God for who God is and not for what we want God to be and do for us? And then, are we willing to follow that God with our lives, even if that God is not the things we think we want? Even if Christ is not the kind of king we think we need? Because following Jesus takes that kind of trust. It takes an ability to rest in the trust that God knows what God is doing, and that God is inspiring us through Christ's life to live into our calling, to be those same makers of peace and disruptors, makers of peace that Jesus was. Following Jesus takes a deep trust, and that trust is a gift of the Holy Spirit, we believe, in the Presbyterian Church. The gift of faith is a gift from God. It's not something we reason ourselves into or something we make happen for ourselves. It's a faith that is a gift from God and not something we will into being within us. And so I pray we will be open to being surprised this week as we enter into the week we remember Jesus' death and resurrection. May it be so. Amen.